It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Beto O'Rourke, who represents the 16th Congressional District of Texas. Would that make El Paso kind of home?
El Paso's home. Born and raised there, a fourth-generation Texan. Amy and I are raising Ulysses, who's 11, Molly, who's 9, and Henry, who is 7, in the same city I grew up in. And that's the community I represent, most of El Paso County.
You're also a member of the Armed Services Committee. You're on a Veterans Affairs Committee. We'll dig a little deeper into that in just a moment. Let's talk about the district for those who don't know it like you do. Give us a visual.
We are as West Texas as it gets. You cannot go any further west in the state of Texas and still be in the state of Texas than El Paso. We're the only county in the Mountain Time Zone. We're a binational community conjoined with Ciudad Juarez. There are 3 million of us in those two cities that form the largest binational community in the hemisphere, anywhere in the Americas. And we also happen to be one of the safest cities in the United States of America. I would argue in part because we're a city of immigrants. And these are the folks who helped to make us even more successful, safer, stronger, and more secure than we would have been otherwise. We're in the Chihuahuan Desert at the foot of the Rocky Mountains. It's a base elevation of 4,000 feet and just an extraordinarily beautiful, amazing community of really wonderful people that I'm lucky enough to live among and represent for this short time in Congress. And so big honor in my life to be able to do that.
We look at that district. We will find some agriculture, obviously. We'll find business in there and healthcare and other industries, but also some agriculture. When we talk ag, you were able to experience your first farm bill debate, if you will, on the House floor.
We've got a farm bill that could not come at a more critical time for the farmers that I have met and the ranchers that I've listened to, and the cotton gin workers and managers and operators, and a state that is largely driven by agriculture and the trade that comes with that. Being in Tulia and listening to wheat farmers, or being at the epicenter of the largest cotton patch on the planet in Lubbock, and hearing about the need to have support for cottonseed, or the anxiety that some feel about the potential that we'll enter a trade war or we'll have reciprocating tariffs that'll make what we grow and raise in Texas less competitive. This farm bill is necessary to ensure the continuation of a way of life that has defined Texas for longer than I've been alive. And the opportunity for us is for Democrats and Republicans to work with and listen to one another so that we can get a true bipartisan bill through the House into conference and then ultimately back to the farms and the communities and the people who ensure that we can feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, and continue to be the leading country in the world. And I know that we're up to the challenge. I know we've had our difficulties in the House where that bill originally failed. But I'm confident that we're going to come back and do this the right way. And I'm hearing from the farmers and ranchers and others throughout Texas, they're depending on us to do the work at hand. And so we've got to be bigger than party or any other division that would otherwise get in the way of getting this done. And I look forward to being part of that.
One of those things that happened to derail it, if you will, was some who wanted a vote on border or on immigration. And when you talk immigration, you talk border security, talk guest worker program. They're all intertwined. What do you see?
I'll never forget being at the cotton gin in Roscoe and getting to walk through that cotton gin. I was lucky enough to be with my kids and my wife who was traveling with me in that part of West Texas. And we all got to learn What happens to that cotton when it comes from the field, and what it looks like when it's finally shipped off. 24 people working in that cotton gin. Not a single one of them was born in Roscoe or nearby Sweetwater or Texas or the United States of America. Every single one to a person born in Mexico or El Salvador or some other part of the world, willing to do the very hard work in that cotton gin. Same thing that I found in Quanah, walking the cotton field there with somebody who's been working that land for as long as he's been alive, with his dad who owned that land before him. The only people that they can get to work that land are immigrants who are coming through. Being in Goldthwait, Texas, and having a town hall meeting in a restaurant started by a young couple 2 weeks before from Jalisco, Mexico. They are literally working the jobs that no American will work and investing, putting their hard-earned money into those local economies to complement what the fourth generation, fifth generation Texan is willing to do as well. That's the story of Texas, the most diverse state in the country. It's the story of the United States of America. It's what makes us great. And so I know that Texas knows this and has the opportunity to lead on this, Republicans and Democrats alike. I was in Dawson, Texas, meeting with a cotton and wheat farmer, and he said that he was at the cafe that morning and some folks were grousing about immigrants and them taking jobs, and he challenged him. He said, has any one of you had your job taken by an immigrant? And no one could say that they had. And he said, well, has your son or your daughter had their job taken? A cousin, anyone you know? And everyone had to admit, no, none of us have had our jobs taken by immigrants. We need to stop looking at this as a threat or a problem, and instead as an opportunity. And there has to be order to this, and we have to have laws that are followed, but laws that reflect our values and our reality and our self-interest as a state, and perhaps no industry, no part of the state understands that as well as our farmers and our ranchers and the agricultural industry in Texas. So I would love to see us, again, Republicans and Democrats, lead on the issue of immigration. This is our moment to do it. The country is waiting for our leadership.
So let's segue from that to another issue that does affect agriculture. It affects the community of El Paso, and that's trade. A lot of concern right now by agriculture when it comes to trade. What are you seeing?
In El Paso, trade dominates our economy. One out of every four jobs that I represent is dependent upon U.S.-Mexico trade. We know that in the state of Texas, it's a million jobs. Just through the ports of entry in El Paso and Juarez, $90 billion in U.S.-Mexico trade cross every year. We are inextricably connected with the rest of the world at the Rio Grande. What surprised me was going to Lubbock, Texas, and meeting with the cotton growers, meeting with the Chamber of Commerce, meeting with Mayor Pope, and others who explained to me that trade is on their mind as well. I thought this was an El Paso, Brownsville, McAllen issue. It's a Texas issue, and one of the things they helped me learn is that the cotton that we're growing in Lubbock and the surrounding communities is not destined for the United States. It's destined for the rest of the world, and as long as we have markets that are open to the cotton that we're growing, we're going to continue to drive that West Texas economy. As soon as those markets shut down in a trade war or tariffs that are levied in response to tariffs that we levy on this side, those farmers, our economy, Texas will lose out. And so I was very heartened in the plains to ports, ports to plains connection that I saw in West Texas. We are a trading state. Our number one trading partner is the country of Mexico. So instead of focusing on walls or sending the National Guard down there or withdrawing from the North American Free Trade Agreement, our state needs to help lead this country in improving NAFTA, making sure that it is as fair as possible for the American worker and the American farmer, but ultimately finding a way to make it work because our economy and the jobs in our state literally depend on it.
It really comes back to bipartisanship, and you're having that opportunity to do that with another fellow Texan. You mentioned Lubbock a few times. Jody Arrington and you sit on a subcommittee for Veterans Affairs. How does that work?
I'm so lucky to serve on the House Veterans Affairs Committee because it's really, truly the last bastion of bipartisanship on the Hill. There's no Republican or Democratic value assigned to a bill that's going to expand mental health care for veterans or ensure that they are able to get access to that higher education that they've earned by putting their lives on the line for this country through the post-9/11 GI Bill. And Jody and I may disagree on some things. In fact, we certainly do. But on that House Veterans Affairs Committee, all we see is a service that's been provided by those veterans and military retirees, and we are both mutually committed to doing everything we can to honor that service by ensuring that we uphold our end of the bargain. Jody was kind enough to hold a field hearing in Lubbock about the necessity of ensuring an effective transition from military service to civilian life, and the great leadership that we see at Texas Tech in Lubbock, where we're helping those former service members through a great world-class education at Tech make sure that they can contribute to their full potential. I've worked with another Republican, Mike Kaufman, to expand mental health care access for veterans who have what is known as an other than honorable discharge, which before our bill prevented them from seeing a psychiatrist or a psychologist at the VA and was a contributing factor to 20 veterans a day, every single day, taking their lives in this country. We were able to get it passed in the House, passed in the Senate on a bipartisan basis, and signed into law by President Trump. That's saving lives today. And the only way to do it, the only way that would have worked is by putting the smaller differences aside, compromising, and moving forward Republican and Democrat together. That's what people expect of us. And so it's my honor to serve on that committee as well as the Armed Services Committee with Mac Thornberry, where we just passed the defense bill with a vote of, I think, 62-1 in that committee. One of the first significant pay increases for our active duty service members. And again, Republican and Democrat working together to make that happen. So Congress doesn't work all the time, and I think all of us are aware of that. These two committees, Armed Services and Veterans Affairs, is where Congress still does work, and I'm lucky enough to be there.
So good to see you. Thanks for your time, for the work you do, and we wish you the best.
Thank you very much for allowing me to be on your show.
Again, it's Representative Beto O'Rourke, representing the 16th Congressional District of Texas on today's Agribusiness Report.